good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and Scott and I had quite a two-hour show that we've just closed down. I don't know if you believe it or not, but Scott and I are good friends. Sometimes we don't sound like it, but we are pretty good friends. Even considering I've only known him for a few years. Actually, I've only known him closely for about a year and a half. So anyway, we had a good time today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And today I'm going to talk about the progressive movement. I've had a lot of people say, well, what is a progressive? You call your show a progressive life. And what do you think about that? Well, we're going to talk about the progressive movement from a long time ago, and we're also going to talk about the current progressive movement. Before, though, I really enjoyed listening to that little tidbit from Richard Cordray. Richard and I became, I guess, acquaintances. You can't call us friends. We just crossed each other when we were both running for office 2 years ago. I was very impressed with the man. I still am. And I think I really think he would have been a better governor, but it didn't happen. And I like the way he responds to it. And I hope that I can continue to respond the same way with courtesy for the person that defeated me. It's becoming harder because I've watched her voting. But that's where we stand right now. I wanted to also remind you that on the 20th of this month, this has nothing to do with politics, but on the 20th of this month, there's free fishing. You don't have to get a license. You can go fishing on the 20th anywhere in the state of Ohio without a license, catch fish, have fish for dinner, and nobody will ask you for your license. I just thought that was cool. And the only reason why I know that is James Anderson has been on with me this last time. He's going to be on a week from tomorrow on my show, and I'm looking forward to having him on. We'll talk about all manner of natural stuff with that show. That'll be in a week from tomorrow. I think he's on in the morning. Well, I'll remind you tomorrow when he's going to be on. I think he comes on, all morning on Thursday from 10:15 till noon. And we'll ask, if you have any questions, get them ready, because we need to ask him about the all the different, the beavers and the birds and the flowers, and he knows everything about that stuff. If you want to write a question and to ask him, send it to WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Let me give you that again. If you do want to ask a question, also if you have things that you want to sell on Swap Shop tomorrow afternoon, you can also send them to this address, WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Yeah, well, Swap Shop has been kind of put in the back. In the hoppers at the back because of the coronavirus. We didn't feel that we should be encouraging people to go out and greet other people. But if you have an announcement like for a bazaar or a garage sale or something like that, or you have a bicycle you want to sell or any tchotchkes you want to sell, you feel free to call us tomorrow and let us know. We do have that gentleman, and I still have his number in my wallet that will repair your bicycle for free. Now, I always say, you probably ought to tip him, a little fiver wouldn't hurt, or something like that, if he fixes your bicycle. I've been thinking about contacting him because I found a bicycle for two, a tandem bicycle, and it says it's on, I don't remember what line it's on. It's on one of the bidding places. It says it's in fairly good shape, but needs some tender, loving care. And it's only like $250. And I thought that sounded like a pretty good deal. Anyway, there was something else I was going to mention before I started talking about the progressive movement, and I can't remember what it was to save my soul. Well, that's what happens as you get older. I need to take that medicine that they say will keep your brain smart, right? Anyway, I'm Glenn Coble. The show that we're on right now is A Progressive Life, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about. A lot of people have asked me what a progressive is. Well, there was an era they called the progressive era, and it goes back, way before even me, and that's goes back pretty far too. But it was in the United States from about 1890 to 1920. Later in the 20s, people were just having fun until the stock market fell apart, and then they weren't having any fun. So progressivism kind of got put on the back burner for a long time. And it's kind of popped back up again. And I truly believe if you're a progressive in one era, you're a progressive in the other era. Now, they do have differences. The 1890 to 1920 progressive were a little bit different. Their main objectives, the movements that they had, were basically, well, when you think about the 1890s to the 1920s, it was very similar to the current time. There were giant businesses that were running monopolies, and they could do no wrong because they had lots of money, and they could buy politicians, which seems to be going on again. And they could do no wrong, and because they had so much money and power that they could control the legislature. It was also a time where those people didn't give a rat's behind about social progress. All they cared about is getting their steel made or their automobiles made, and didn't care how they did it. Didn't care that it was dangerous to work in their factories and stuff like that. And so it was similar to current times, where a huge percentage of the money was in a tiny percentage of the hands, pretty much like it is now. I think I read somewhere that back then, I believe, 90% of the money was held in 1% of the American populace. And that's pretty similar to what they're saying right now. It might even be more money in the powerful people's hands now than it was even back then. But anyway, it was in the 1890s through the 1920s, the progressive movement, and it was called the movement back then, the progressive movement. It was caused by that industrialization. We were going from an agrarian economy to more of an industrial economy, brought on quite often by war or civil war. And things were being made by manufacturers. Things, inventions were coming to pass, which were making life easier. We were getting urbanized. In other words, people were moving to the cities, much like now. And there are people that really hate the fact that so much of our population now is in, you know, I don't know, maybe 12 big cities, something like that. But urbanization was also happening back then. It wasn't nearly as big, but that was because we didn't have nearly as many people in our population as we have now. what are we now, 360, 370 million people. Back then it was probably closer to 100 million instead of 300. Might have even been smaller than that. I'm not sure. I didn't look that up last night with my puppy dog. She didn't tell me what the population was back then. But we are much bigger now than they are now. But urbanization and industrialization were two huge movements that were expanding the United States and making it grow, which was kind of a good thing, but also could be considered a bad thing. Immigration was very big at the time. We were getting lots of people from Europe, Italians, Irish, a lot of people were getting moving to the United States. Now, the good thing about that was they were hated. That's not the good thing. The Italian immigrants and the Irish immigrants, both of which were probably Catholic, but they were hated because of their religion. And most people that lived in the United States at the time, the upper class, we'll call it that, they were mainly Protestant. So therefore, that was part of the movement. The progressives believed that immigration should be more open, not less open, and open to more people, not cut back because of your religion. Much like currently, we are not very well opened up to Hispanics. We have never been open to the African American. And that has a different genesis. 201 year ago, something like that, is when we brought our first slaves into this country. And then another thing that has always been with us, but now it's much like it was back in the early 1900s. There has become a terrific amount of political corruption. All you have to do is watch any news program, with maybe the possible exception of Fox. Most news stations talk about the corruption nonstop, the corruption of lies, the corruption of money, all that sort of thing. And it was huge back at the very first progressive era. And so therefore, current day has become very similar to days back then. The early 2020s are much like the early 1920s. And I hope it's not a century type thing, that every century around the 20s, the teens and the 20s, we go into corruption and unhappy immigrants and that sort of thing. But anyway, those are the areas that the early progressive era focused: industrialization, urbanization, immigration, and political corruption. Mainly targeted the political machines. Now, there were huge political machines back then. Tammany Hall, and there were just lots of huge machines that had garnered a lot of money and had garnered a lot of power, so that if you wanted to be in politics and you weren't in one of the machines, you weren't going to get in. That's just the way it was. And quite frankly, in the last 3.5-4 years, we've struggled with a similar problem. In that if you weren't a friend of the current president, you weren't going to get in. And if you did get in and he wasn't happy with you, you were thrown out. And we've had a lot of people thrown out. I mean, lots of people thrown out of the government. But that's kind of a political machine unto its own, the Trump family, excuse me. But that kind of is. If you are tight with that group, you can get a lot of things done. anywhere from adjusting the stock market to getting advantages for your particular industry or your particular desires, and that sort of thing is going on again. And it's I'm not going to say it hasn't been going on. It's gone on throughout history. We've had that problem forever, is that money and power tend to beget money and power, and honesty and caring be damned. But anyway, that's kind of where we've gotten to a head again, much like we were in 1920, right before a decade before the big crash. Let's hope that's not waiting for us in 10 years. By taking down the corrupt representatives in office and other ideas, direct democracy could be established. That's what they were trying to do. Develop direct democracy, which means pretty much one person, one vote. We were losing that, much like we are losing that now. Back then, if you were Mr. Ford or you owned U.S. Steel or something like that, you tended to have more than one vote. Now, I'm not saying you voted more than one time in the voting booth. I'm just saying your opinion weighed a lot more on the opinion of the people who were making the rules. But back then, one of the things that was really growing, and we have it now, but we kind of sidestep it. We don't call it what we called it back then. Monopolies. We do have monopolies. Now, there are rules about what can and cannot be considered a monopoly, and the really powerful and well-to-do have found ways to sidestep all the rules. So we don't have the trust busting like we had back in the early years of the 1900s. The trust busting, and we don't get the antitrust laws as much. They look differently. They're not called antitrust. But they're not. None of them are getting passed anyway, because it may get passed through one side of the House, but it might go through the House, but it'll never get through the Senate. For some reason or other, and I have no idea why the Senate seems to be so opposed to correcting social injustice. Now, I have noticed in the last week or two, there has been a little bit of cracking in the walls of the Republican-run Senate, maybe to the point where some people are at least now saying, well, that would probably be a good idea, but we'll have to do a study. A study is a way of kicking the can down the hall, down the alley. We seem to do that, unfortunately, and that kind of is what has run our government for years and years and years, kicking the can down the alley. That's what we've done about group that came in, the Tea Party that came in, was absolutely opposed to bigger and better, and I'm putting that in quotes, but bigger government. They are absolutely opposed to spending money, developing high deficit. And now they seem to be, some of them seem to be in power, including our own, one of our own legislators, Mr. Jordan, who was kind of one of the big mucky mucks in the Tea Party. But now we have trillions of dollars worth of debt that we've gone into. So I guess the roles have changed a little. Many of the progressives back in the early progressive era, and not not saying it's not going on now, but back in the progressive era of 1890 through 1920, they supported prohibition. And that was a way they thought that if they could get rid of alcoholic beverages, that would destroy the political power of the local bosses who were based in saloons, believe it or not. Now, I come from the Chicago area, and I can recall and this was under the Democratic leadership of Mayor Daley, many of the politicians spent a good time working the saloons. They also worked the churches. But the reason why they worked the saloons is, to develop the power there, and the religious motivation was working the churches. Everybody went to church, whether you were a good person, whether you were believed in God or anything, you went to the church. I was told when I ran for office, you don't go to church anymore. And I said, no, I'm an agnostic. Oh, don't tell anybody that. But I always felt that it's better to tell the truth than not, right? That's what my mommy said. Women's suffrage came out of that era. Women's suffrage was promoted to bring about what they called a pure female vote. And I'm not quite sure what that meant. It sounds a little pejorative to me to call it a purer female vote. How would it be other than pure? Anyway, and a third thing that they were working on, a lot of the progressives of that era were very involved in the efficiency movement. They were kind of like I am today, fiscally conservative. They thought we should modernize, but we shouldn't. We should be efficient in our modernization. Modernization should make things cost less by being more efficient. That was part of that movement. They like to bring to bear the scientific and the medical and engineering solutions. If they could put all three of those things on a problem, they could solve the problem while saving money and saving lives, saving bettering the human condition, much of like what you hear a lot of people talking about in the progressive movement today, as opposed to those who completely ignore the medical and scientific and engineering solutions and call it fake news, I guess. The scientific and the medical and the engineering problems being solved was a big, big part of being a progressive back then, and it is again in this new era of progressiveness. I was going to mention a couple of writers that talked about that movement, but I'm not certain that too many people knew those writers, so I'm going to pass on it just say it. There were a lot of writers that cited behind the progressive era. Many activists joined efforts to reform local governments. They really started locally. As much as anything, they liked to reform the local government, which they felt would grow upward. And if they had honest local government, maybe the regional government would become more and more, as evolution progressed, become more honest. They also believed in working with public education. Now, that's public education, not private education, which right now we're having a discussion, that we're Mrs. DeVos is very much for private education, but private education always leans toward the rich and the powerful, and it quite often tells them what they want to hear as opposed to what is true and false. So public education was one of the things the activists were involved in. Scientific medicine, the development of good scientifically sound medicine was important. And quite frankly, right now, medicine is probably one of the biggest problems we have in the fact that the United States has the worst COVID-19 breakout by far than any other country, because we just didn't pay attention to the medicine. Finance, their local government was also helping make the finances better at the local level and work its way up. And that was another an effort that activists were involved with. Insurance, industry, railroad, churches, all of those things were on the plate of the early progressive era activist. A lot of the professional trades were involved because they were the progressives were very involved in the scientific and the scientific look at almost all industries, social sciences, and economic sciences, political sciences. They are all on the plate of the activists. Some of the national public leaders, political leaders, included Theodore Roosevelt, who was a Republican, William Jennings Bryan, who was a Democrat, and Woodrow Wilson, who was also a Democrat. There were lots of others that were involved, the names that you probably don't know as well because none of you were alive in 1890 that I know of. That would make you 130 years old. Anyway, those are some of the people that were involved in the progressive movement back then. Both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats. It apparently in the current progressive era, right now it isn't really terribly by what do they call it? It doesn't go in both houses. It tends to be more the Democrats than the Republicans. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think of any Republican that I would consider a progressive. Maybe. I really don't think of any that I would consider progressive. Some progressives strongly supported scientific methods, and that was kind of the thing, you know. They applied it to, like I said, several things: economics, government, industry, finance, medicine, schooling, theology, interesting, education, and even family life. They were all areas of scientific thought, development, and concern. And things like this were also going on, by the way, in Western Europe at the same time. However, that got changed by political things that went on in Western Europe. There was a historian, Alonzo Hemby. He described American progressivism as political movement that addresses ideas, impulses, and issues stemming from modernization of American society. And that pretty much covers that early progressive era. Is a political movement that addresses ideas, impulses, and issues stemming from the modernization of the American society. In the 21st century, though, now, things have changed a little. Progressives continue to embrace concepts like environmentalism and social justice, while they don't really get terribly involved in the religious, and they tend to be more largely secular in nature. So that's kind of where we've changed to, kind of indicated by the fact that our current population, I think people moving from religious to non-religious positions is around 25 to 30% of our population now, if asked, does not consider themselves a religious person. One of the things that the current progressive is very involved in is governmental corruption. And one of the reasons, it's not just because it's corrupt, but it's wasteful. It's very inefficient in its government. And we have a lot of corruption in our government right now. Anybody who says we don't isn't listening to television or reading their newspaper. Anyway, that's probably the top thing on many progressives' lists of things to be corrected, is cutting down corruption. And the corruption comes from basically from money and power, but mainly from money. And recently, within the last 10 years, I think it was, Citizens United was passed by the Supreme Court, which allows corporations to be looked at as if they were people, so that they can talk about stuff. Now, corporations, I don't know too many corporations that are on welfare, that are on Social Security like I am. I don't know too many. My guess is they probably have a better chance of getting to the ear of our non-progressive government right now than I do. So that kind of is one of the things that we're looking at. Progressive education is very big right now, because we have so many people that are trying to develop private education, which basically is a way to make money from the government, using your status as an educator to get money from the government. And we've really struggled here in the state of Ohio about our charter schools and things like that. And I'm not saying that they can't be good. There are some that can be good, but the underlying reasons for some of these is more money than it is education. We are very involved in, progressives are very involved in regulations of large corporations. You've seen that in days gone by. As a matter of fact, I was talking about Richard Cordray, who was earlier, who was in charge of the Consumer Protection Agency. And one of the things they kept an eye on is how corporations were abusing their relationship with the public. We do still have some trust busting. It's not as strong as a lot of progressives would like. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's not as good as most progressives would like to see, the trust busting. The giant corporations become gianter. We do. A lot of us believe in regulations, and I know that I can hear the screaming going on right now of people that think regulations are bad. Regulations usually are done to fill holes of corruption. They're not done just, oh, good, let's regulate that for fun. They don't do it for fun. They do it because somebody is abusing whatever is being regulated. In, I would say, a majority of the cases. Not all, not all. There are people that want to get other corporations out of business, so they regulate them out, you know. But most of them, I think, are done with a positive attitude. Social work is a big part of the modern progressivism. And there's been complaints about the welfare moms and about people abusing the system for years and years. My wife was a social worker. We've heard that for years and years. But when the COVID-19 virus puts us all out of work, you don't hear those people complaining about themselves taking money from the government because they have no other money. So I think we ought to re-examine the good work that many social workers do. You know what? One of the things that they didn't like back in the good old days about progressivism was prostitution. That was big back in the teens, the 19-teens. And it probably should be big now. We do have a lot of, for lack of a better word, slaves in that industry. Back in the good old days also, we had enacted child labor laws. One of the things that surprised me when I was reading about this is the early progressives were in favor of eugenics. Now, eugenics is kind of controlling your gene pool with things. And that's something I think you don't find anymore in real progressives. Now, back in those days also, conservation started the national parks and wildlife refuge areas, which is big today, continues to be big. However, the current progressive is fighting to keep pipelines off of their national parks. So they're fighting to keep game trails open. All things that big government or big industry would rather go away. Currently, a big thing is mitigating income inequality. Now, here's where that quote comes from. Income inequality in the United States has been on the rise since 1970, as the wealthy continue to hold more and more wealth and income. For example, 95% of income gains from 2009 to 2013 went to the top 1% wage earners in the United States. And I'm certain that has gotten more and more in recent years. I don't have the numbers, so I'm not going to try to make them up. But we need to look at that. Now, we don't want communism. Nobody's advocating pure socialism, but we need to look at it. We need to find out ways to making things a little bit more even and fair. I'm going to say and fair because a lot of it isn't fair. There's welfare reform going on, reforming of tax codes, campaign finance, trying to close loopholes and keeping keeping our work in the United States. Those are some of the areas that a lot of progressives look for. Let me know if any of those things you don't like. Most of the things are very positive for the American public. We're talking about regulations. Progressives believe more and more in Wall Street regulation because Wall Street has kind of gotten away from itself. Healthcare reform is a big thing for current progressives. The minimum wage. Did you know in 1968 the minimum wage was about $9.90 as adjusted for $2,020 dollars. By the way, if it had grown with the rate of the productivity of the United States, it would now be $21.72 an hour. But in fact, it's only $7.25 an hour, which shows you we're only giving our working public about one third of what they were getting back in 1968. Black Lives Matter has really reared its head recently, especially with the murders of several African Americans at the hands of police officers. Environmental justice is a big thing. I'm running out of time, so I'm going a little faster. But environmental justice, there are a lot of environmental protection people. And isn't it interesting how clean the air got once the COVID-19 virus hit and nobody was driving all over the place? Here are the major goals of the current progressives. Principles of the modern progressive movement are basically they're against corruption. Now, you can't argue with that, right? They're against oppression. I can't see why anybody would argue with that. They're against discrimination. Now, I understand there are people that like discrimination. They think that moves them up on the ladder. But we are against discrimination. They're against privatization of the public sphere. We must fundamentally oppose to the mass privatization of goods and services that should remain public, like health care and education and other necessities for a decent life. We're for these things, democracy. And democracy right now is in the firing line. I'm truly afraid of what might happen in the next 138 days if the president isn't reelected. We're for transparency. Transparency clears a lot of this stuff up. If you're transparent, you will know when there is bad stuff afoot. We are also for accountability, which is part of transparency. But accountability is extremely important as far as if you spend a dollar, you should get a dollar's worth of value from it. And we're not doing that anymore. This is one of my biggest pet peeves, I guess. Well, it's not a peeve. It's something I really am strongly adhere to is freedom of press. And I don't care, as long as the press is honest, I'm for the freedom of press. Now, I know, how do you judge whether it's honest or not? There are all sorts of different levels of honesty in our press. But the freedom for them to say what they believe and back it up, I believe, is one of the most important things that we have. It gives us a fourth body to count on, not just the Supreme Court, the executive and the Congress. It's a fourth body that keeps an eye on everything. And most progressives are nonviolent, no matter what it was said during the riots, which weren't really riots. Most of them were just demonstrations with people out on the side trying to get rich off of stealing stuff from other people. Authenticity and integrity are a couple of the words, and solidarity are a few of the words that we now have to incorporate into progressivism. And I don't think I've really touched on anything that anybody can disagree with. I'm not a big Bernie Sanders supporter, but this is what he said. The fight for justice is not a concept we hear a lot about in politics anymore. Justice, that is what we should be fighting for. And I absolutely agree with that. Justice for all, and justice is out there to be had, but you've got to fight for it. I've gone to, two progressive outings in the last 3 weeks. I missed this last one. I'm sorry about that. It was over at the memorial, and I missed it. We have to fight for what is right. And I think we all know what is right and what is wrong. Unfortunately,
you're listening
we don't.
To WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 2-2.